Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series. Jesus wants to teach you to pray. You are studying Lesson 3, Actively Protect Your Heart. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
We praise you and thank you, and we give you honor and glory, and we ask you in the name of Jesus to reveal, open the eyes of our understanding, open the eyes of our consciousness, and flood our hearts and minds with your Word and yourself, and how we can become more, how we can become more vital, more alive in our prayer life and in our time of worship and fellowship with you. And we thank you for it, sir. We give you mighty praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yesterday, I did get excited on yesterday's broadcast about prayer and the things of God. I mean, man, I get turned on. In fact, I stay turned on at just different levels of on for me. Amen. Somebody said one time to Brother Oral Roberts, he was talking about praying and speaking with other tongues, and he talked about the fact that he prays in tongues all the time. And somebody said, "You mean to tell me that you just turn God on and off anytime you get ready?" He said, "No, ma'am. I turn me on and off anytime I get ready. He's always on." Praise God. And yesterday I turned me on and God was already on. And today we're going to turn ourselves on because God's already on. Praise God. Seven steps actually it's turned into more than seven as we've gotten into this thing. The seven basic things that will help you bring results in your prayer life. Very practical things. Conduct of life and the way you should live your daily life, what you do daily at home. Do you want me to tell you what the badge of spirituality is? It's not the way you act in church. Oh, everybody's very spiritual in church. Yes, amen. Everybody, you know. Oh, yes, brother. Oh, yes, such a wonderful message, brother. Now, that ain't... I mean, you don't tell how spiritual somebody is by the way they act in church. You tell how spiritual they are by the way they act at home. Amen. That's when you find out whether somebody lives a life of spirituality or not. Amen. Oh, isn't it like one guy said, sad but true, sad but true. Well, that's sad but true. Absolutely true. We talked about prayer that brings results must be based on the Word. Then we talked about once the prayer is prayed and the Word of God has been laid on the altar of faith and you said, amen, so be it, and you begin to praise and worship God and thank Him that it's done, then we begin the application of faith. You begin those things of believing that you receive when you pray. Our confession that it is done. Our actions that it is done. We act as though it's done. We receive when we pray, holding fast to our confession. That's where we were yesterday talking about the fact that in Hebrews 4:16, you know, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Seeing we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, who is the apostle or the one sent of God to be our high priest of our confession. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, yesterday we talked about refusing to allow doubt and fear to enter into your consciousness. Man, this stuff can come from all kinds of different places. It's a vital thing. Vitally, it is awesomely important to protect what comes in your ears and what comes into your eyes particularly when you're walking and living by faith and your body is screaming, we're not healed, there's no use you acting like that, no use you talking like that, and your old unbelieving friends are talking like that. Like one fella said, you know, somebody ruined him. What do you mean somebody ruined him? Well, he got to running around with Copeland. Oh, yeah, and they're just running around all over the country acting like little Jesuses. Well, I mean, he paid me the biggest compliment he could have ever paid me and didn't realize it. He thought he was putting me down. No. So we're acting by faith. Some people say, well, they think they're God. No, we don't think we're God. No, we know who we are. We're children of God. And in this earth, we're the agents of God, representatives and witnesses of God. And our confession is of His Word. And our confession is that my God can do all things. Nothing is impossible to my God. And all things are possible to him that believeth. And I'm a believer. Therefore, all things are possible unto me. So you see, you have to protect your thought life. And you have to do it. Bless God. God Almighty, do it. Don't just play around about it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Do it in the nighttime. Do it in the daytime. Do it. Stand before God in faith. Do these things. Begin to be a person of faith. I don't care what you were yesterday. Lay hold of it. Control your mind. You control your thinking. Turn off the noise of the world. You don't have to have your radio blaring at you all day long every time you go down the street. You don't have to have noise at you all day long. Some of you cannot, you think you cannot exist during the day without the radio going, without this going, without that going. Hey, if you're going to listen to something like that, put the Word of God on those things and turn it on and listen to it. You can learn that you don't have to have something blaring at your mind all the time. You need to learn how to listen to God. You need to learn how to turn to the voice of God that's on the inside of you. Do you know that's the reason used to in years past when women stayed at home all the time and they were not out there, you know, all hung up out there in the world and all that traffic out there. It seemed like women's intuition was absolutely 100 times stronger than men. They knew what was right more than men did. Why? Well, back before the days of television and radio and all that going on, once the children were all gone and a woman was there at home and she's standing there over that ironing board or she's doing something, you know, she's in her thoughts and she's praying and she's listening to God and she's listening to her spirit. And as she listened to her spirit, I mean, even though maybe she didn't know that she was doing that, she began to listen to these areas of her that knew more than just her brain did. Now, I'm not saying, oh, the women ought not work and all that. I mean, you're going to have to settle that with God. But what I am saying, you are going to have to take the time to be quiet before God. Or sometimes you're going to have to do it on purpose, and you really need to turn off all of that worldly and chatter and noise that's coming at you and turn on the things of God and listen to the things of God. Control your mind with the Word and dwell in the answers instead of on the problems and the pains and the things that say you don't have it. Spend your time and control your time, your mind. Do whatever you have to do to spend time in prayer and begin a barrage of the answers, because in God's Word lies the power to bring God's Word to pass. Now let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. For though we walk, or no, in other words, we live in this flesh world, in this physical sense surrounded world, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, our warfare and our victory is not in this flesh world, it's in the spirit world. Through the world of the spirit, we can control our personal environment and our thought life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not flesh, they're not physical weapons, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now here's what you have to do. casting down imaginations. The Greek reference over here in the middle of my Bible said, or reasonings. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, or against the Word of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Hear what he's saying there? He's saying any thought that comes to your mind and says, you're not going to get your healing. I mean, after all, you ain't been on a 40-day fast. After all, you know who you are. You're ugly. You're no good. You're unworthy. And then you go somewhere and somebody says, yes, we're all unworthy. And then someone says, healing is not for today. And then someone says, you ain't running around with that, those idiots that believe in here. You want them faith healers? Just like the whole atmosphere is full of doubt bugs, you know, just everywhere. Say, well, brother, I don't know whether I can do this or not. Yes, you can. Here is the process outlined in Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Now, are the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, God's words. Attend to them means to put that to your attention or put it first place. I have to attend to this before I do anything else. This is primary. I have to do this before I can do that. Somebody says, let's go, let's go to the ball game. I can't go to the ball game. Why can't you go to the ball game? Because I have to attend to this over here first. I gave those folks my word. I got to do this before I can go to the ball game or anything else. He said, attend to my word. Do it specifically on purpose and do it right now. I mean, settle it with God forever, settle it with the devil forever, and settle it with yourself forever. You settle it that God's Word is first place and final authority in your life. I am going to think His thoughts which are higher than my thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55. Now, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, you have to work at that. I mean, you have to work at that. Pay attention to what God is saying and do it. Don't mess with it. Do it. Well, I'm trying. Well, shut up that trying and do it. We're not trying to be faith people. We are faith people. Now, go be one. Amen. So, this is me, this is my life, and this is forever. I settle it with God. Your word is first place. Whatever your word says I am, I am. Whatever your word says that I can do with the power of your Holy Ghost, I can do it. He's my helper. And I'll go wherever it says go, and so forth and so on. Now, incline your ear unto the word of God. When it says, by His stripes ye were healed, instead of saying, well, I sure wish I was, but you know how bad I got, you know, my lumbago is killing me. No. Incline your ear to God's sayings instead of inclining your ear to the pain. Now, I know, brother, I mean, this sometimes, man, this is hard. The Bible says in the Word of God to consider Jesus. Consider Him the high priest. Consider Him who took such shame on Himself in order to set us free. Consider Him. Get your mind over on Him. Settle your mind over on Him and lock in there on it when pain becomes so terrible. And when you're standing against sickness and disease, lock in on Jesus. See Him on the cross. See Him on the throne. See the wounds on His back. Watch in your spirit. Watch Him. Watch Him over and again. Read the crucifixion. Read the resurrection. Go to the Word that gives it to you. Think about it and think about it and think about it. And every time a word of doubt or unbelief or unworthiness, anything that is against the results that you've set out to get in prayer, stop it right then. No, you don't come into my thought life. No, you don't come into my consciousness. No, I refuse that mental picture and that mental image of my child being on drugs. I refuse that in the name of Jesus, and I refuse to feed it into his mind too. My children are taught of the Lord and powerful in the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children, Isaiah 54. Praise God. So then, now notice how he says, do it. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them there. Man, you have to do this on purpose. You may be incarcerated somewhere. You may be in the county jail somewhere. You may be in federal penitentiary. You may be in a state penitentiary somewhere. You may be hid out somewhere from somebody trying to keep from going to the penitentiary. I don't know who you are or where you are, but I'm telling you right now, this is what you better do, whoever you are. I don't care how tough the situation is. I don't care how hard the situation is. I don't care how overbearing the situation is. I don't care how horrible it is. I know men that have done this right in the middle of awesome, terrible war and combat. I know a man that did this. I mean, he kept the word of God in front of him. He was in a prisoner of war camp, and the bombers came over, and they're bombing this place. They're bombing it. They don't know that there's prisoners that it captured and put into this place. And there was a hospital complex there. He was in that hospital, and there was another guy in there. He hung on to the word of God, and the bombs started falling, and they jumped out of bed and fell under the bed, and they both fell under the same bed, and if I flew underneath that bed, and this one guy had his Bible, and he's shouting the 91st Psalm, God is my buckler, he's my strength. I will say of him, he's my deliverer, and there'll be 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other side. He's locked into it. There's other guys screaming and cursing, hollering, we're going to die, we're going to die. Oh, and these guys are hollering the 91st Psalm, and the others hollering the 23rd Psalm. And right in the middle of it. And after everything cleared, all the airplanes is gone, the building's flat. I mean, flat. People dead, bodies everywhere. Except these two. Their little old bed is sitting out in the middle of this rubble. Ain't no roof, ain't no walls. Everybody else is dead. The guards are dead, the soldiers are dead, the patients are dead, except these two sitting under that one little hospital bed hollering the 91st Psalm and the 23rd Psalm, locked into the things of God. Dear Lord in heaven, when are we ever going to wake up to the power and what happens when God and man hook together on His Word, and minds begin to flow with God's mind instead of crosswise of it. I can stand here for the next 2 weeks and tell you one thing right after another, after another, after another. Every kind of a disaster you can think of that my own household has been delivered of. Things that I'm personally aware of and have seen it time and time and time and time again. Now then, notice this. He tells you exactly how to do it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, talking about the Word of God, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be diligent to protect your spirit from doubt and unbelief and reasonings and all this stuff, like Paul said in Corinthians, it sets itself and exalts itself against the Word of God. Well, you don't think you're going to get healed this time. Well, you don't think that silly faith stuff really works, do you? Well, you don't think, I'm talking about your own thoughts. I mean, you wake up in the middle of the night laying there in a cold sweat. Well, you're not going to get your healing. You're not going to get your healing. Bust him right in the head. Get up right then. Don't even try to go back to sleep. Get up right there and say, Mr. Devil, you ain't doing me that way in the name of Jesus. I take the Word of the living God and I come against you. What are you doing? Doing the same thing he was doing. The only thing, your words have power and his didn't. Hallelujah. Then he says, for these words that you keep before your eyes and keep in the midst of your heart, these words are life to those that find them. They're health to all their flesh. Keep your heart or protect your spirit with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. Put away from you a disobedient mouth and perverse lips far from you, and keep your eyes looking right on and your eyelids look straight before you. Or don't be distracted by the world from the Word of God. and walk in it and stay in it and stay in it and stay in it. Oh, I mean, you're liable to go for days and days where it looks like there's just not anything working, and you just still stayed hooked, just still stay in it. You're still testifying to what you believe. You're still standing on the Word of God. Then you begin to get involved helping somebody else, like your deal's already done. And it just, I mean, you may still be in it and still be in it, but you will begin to notice in your own heart and in your own eyes what used to look like such a monster of a problem, what used to look like such a gigantic, overwhelming fortress that the devil's built up before me. I'll never get out of this, dear God. You begin to notice it don't look as big and bad and ugly as it used to. Hallelujah. And you think people are saying the same old ugly stuff about you, but all of a sudden, I don't know, I just don't get the word. It just don't mean too much. I mean, after all, I've put God first in my life now, and the stuff He says about me is good. You know, the Bible said He's not ashamed to call me His brother. And if He's not ashamed to call me brother, I don't care what them other guys call me. What I care? I mean, what I care what they do to me and say to me? I've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody said, what nationality are you, heaven? What? Yeah, I've become the righteousness of God. My nationality now is not based on my earthly culture. It's not based on the color of my skin. It's not based from where my daddy come from, not based from where my mama come from. It's based on the fact that Jesus is now my joint heir, and I'm an heir of God. So since I've been made the righteousness of God, it don't make any difference what the world says about me or tries to do to me. They can't keep me out of the things that God has designed for me and His Word promises me. I don't care whether white folks like it or not. I don't care whether black folks like it or not. I don't care whether red folks like it or not, or brown folks like it or not, or yellow folks like it or not. I don't care what they try to keep me in there, keep me out of. When I'm walking in the things of God, I have found out that, praise God, I'm the righteousness of God, and I have the rights of God, and I fear not what men can do to me. Praise the Lord, I'm a free man. I am free in Jesus. Praise the name of the living God. And now, as you testify to what you believe, your testimony to what you have received from the blood redemption of Jesus Christ, and you have a right to all that Jesus can do. Go about telling what Jesus has done. Go about telling that Jesus went to the cross. Go about telling what a wonderful Savior He is. Go about talking about it all the time. Why, Brother Copeland, it'll just turn them folks off. Well, I'll tell you what, it'll turn some of them on too, praise God. And you begin to win souls. And all of a sudden, your needs begin to dissolve in the middle of all of that. If you need healing, go pray for other folks that need healing. If you need money, give money. In your mind, see yourself becoming a giver. See yourself a giver of money, a giver of good, a giver of life. Become a giver and not just a getter. Become these things in your own consciousness by placing God's Word first place in your life and continuing the application of faith far and long after you have prayed and rolled the care of it over on God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for this television audience that they be made whole, spirit and soul and body, that every need they have come to a place where it bows its knee to the name of Jesus, and that their finances be straightened out, the jobs they need become apparent, and that they come together with those jobs and their businesses flourish and the power of the living God. And where people, Lord, I want people to come around, all of my partners and all of us in this thing, and say, where are they getting it? Where are they getting it? How do they do it? And all of us can say, my God meets my needs according to His riches in glory.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.